have an airport, which is the base for the Coast Guard in the North Coast, and has also been being used more now with by Camp Rialia and the National Guard, since they have a greater presence in that area as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Minnis.
Mr. Eaton, the Portland Airport is experiencing large traffic, and they're projecting that there will be more traffic in the future. And the community that I represent is very concerned about aircraft noise and disturbances from aircraft noise landing. Do you have any opinions about how you would abate the noise in Northeast Portland?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, my guess is that that's all going to be part of the briefing that I'm going to receive if I'm named to the Port of Portland Commission. It's not an issue that I've gotten into at this point.
About the expansion of the Portland Airport?
I think it's going to be pretty necessary to have that expanded if we're going to continue to meet the needs of the metropolitan area. What I don't know is the strategic plan for the Port of Portland. I understand that's also going to be part of what will be gone over with me. And I understand that there has been discussion about perhaps satelliting into other airports. Don't know whether that's feasible or not, or what the strategic plan calls for.
Well, it calls for another runway.
I mean, I know that part of it. I heard that part of it.
Right.
Yes.
But do you have any opinions about, you just simply think it should grow, notwithstanding the complaints about noise and air traffic and congestion?
My constituents
are very concerned about that.
Those are issues that have to be resolved. I mean, and if the alternative is to find an additional runway in another airport, another area, again, if I knew what the Port of Portland, how they had looked at all of that, I could answer that more definitively for you, Senator.
Unfortunately, some of the residents in my area don't think the Port of Portland has done a very good job.
I've heard that. You may be interested to know that I grew up near the Portland Airport as a kid. And I remember when the planes flying over and people would come visit us at our home and they'd say, how do you stand all that noise? And we'd say, what noise? Because we get so used to it.
All right. In 1993, I went to Korea with Vera Katz and Mike Thorne to dedicate the Hanjin Portland. I understand it's going to be visiting here soon, but if I understand correctly, it's not deep. Its draft is too deep to come up the Columbia River. Do you have any suggestions or ideas for us in terms of where you see the future of the port business going in terms of container vessels and their ability to bring large vessels like that into the Portland?
Well, of course, that's Senator, Mr. Chairman, Senator. That's the whole point of the channel deepening is to find whatever level is going to be sufficient. I know that was a question that was asked of Mike Thorne several weeks ago in a hearing here, and his comment at that time was that we feel that the 43 feet will be sufficient enough to handle the vessels that we want to attract to the Port of Portland.
Maybe the better question is how important is that to the economic viability of Inner Northeast Portland?
I'm sorry, to the viability of...
Well, do we need to get larger container vessels into Portland in order to continue the viability of Inter-Northeast Portland? I mean, there's a lot of employment that Inter-Northeast Portland relies on in that area, and if we can't get container vessels into the area, a lot of that employment is going to go away. I mean, unless I'm mistaken, what I understood is that as these container vessels were being used worldwide, that they were going to larger and larger vessels like the Hanjin Portland, which has 4,000 containers that can put out, but it seems to me that we should be moving a little bit more aggressively to get these kind of vessels up our ports. And what I understood to be was that because these ships are so large, they're going to have to go to San Francisco or they have to go to Seattle. And I guess what I'm saying is this channel deepening is a very important issue, and I'm asking for your opinion about whether or not it has to happen soon or 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road. I sound frustrated because in 1993 we were talking about the same issue, and we're still talking about it.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Senator, it's clear that at some level the Port of Portland and the State of Oregon needs to commit itself to the ability to have ships coming to Portland. Whether or not that means that ultimately the Columbia River is going to be asked to accommodate 50-foot draft vessels, I don't know. Again, I heard Mike Thorne testify that at some point the shipping industry has got to align itself, I guess, with where public demand and the public investment is going to come from. And it's not just an issue here, as I understand, in leading some of the trade journals, but it's an issue around the world as to how countries are going to accommodate larger vessels and whether they're going to have the public funds to provide the public infrastructure necessary to handle all that. So if the strategic plan for the port says 43 feet and they estimate that that's going to be able to handle the traffic that they think that they're going to have, then I've got to assume that they've done their background on that and it's going to work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm just expressing some frustration because it seems to me that we just lost the Delta flight, and that has significant economic impact in my area. And if we can't get large ships like the Hanjin Portland into our port, and if the industry is going to larger ships and we can't get them there, and if we're not going to deepen the port, then it creates a significant potential economic problem for us. So it seems to me that that's kind of it's in the hands of the port commissioners to do something about it, isn't it?
Well, it's certainly in the hands of the port commissioners, but it's also with a variety of other ports who are also part of the coalition and significant effort with the Corps of Engineers as well in trying to get the issues resolved, the environmental issues resolved, so they can move ahead.
How long does it take? It's been 9 years now.
Boy, there's a good question. I remember one time asking the Corps of Engineers about putting salmon screens on a dam at the Dalles, and they said they were going to fast-track it at 8 years. So,
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator Beyer.
Mr. Eaton, I think one of the things that's central to the discussion is sort of your philosophy and approach to the business of what the port's in. My perception is the Port of Portland, ports in general, are unlike other governmental entities, and sometimes we confuse that. They're essentially, they're not for-profit, but they're about as close to for-profit businesses as you can get to, and most of the businesses in Oregon particularly depend upon the port, both in the airport facility as well as the cargo facility. The concern that I've heard some of my colleagues express is, will Bobby Eaton bring a business perspective to the board, given the fact that you've spent most of your recent professional career working in resource issues? And I did notice that you spent time as the manager of some chambers of commerce, so at least from my experience with chamber managers, it would suggest a balance. Can you sort of share some of your philosophy and how you would view the board of directors' role with respect to running the business and sort of what comes first in priorities?
Mr. Chairman, Senator. Well, I don't have a background in big business. I've worked with a lot of small businesses. Some of the decisions are the same and in different scales. Certainly at the Port of Astoria, when I came on the commission 4 years ago, we were in a cash crunch. We set about to correct that, make some changes internally. We did. We are now have a small reserve in 4 years. Ports are in the business of transportation, and that's why there are so many jobs that rely not just locally within the Portland metropolitan area, but throughout the state on what the Port of Portland does. And to the extent that you have to invest in that transportation infrastructure in order for ports to continue to be viable and meet the demands. In terms of the priorities, again, my guess is that the Port of Portland has a long-term strategic plan that is probably out there 20 years or so, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to see how that all lays out and how they put that all together, because my suspicion is that it will be very well documented and very thoughtfully produced. Maybe some differences of opinion in that, but I think that would be the case.
Bob, do you have an opinion about the future of the Troutdale Airport, which is also controlled by the Portland?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I don't even know what that issue is all about. am I going to find out if I get to the Port of Portland?
I see. You'll probably hear about it.
Okay. Sure.
One of the way I understand, one of the reasons for the governor proposing your appointment is so you can bring together the environmental interests and the downstream interests and get this channel deepened. Is that a correct assumption?
Mr. Chairman, I've conveyed to Port of Portland staff, I've talked with people in our Lower River region, said one of the things that I want to do is begin to find ways to facilitate dialogue. I think what happens a lot of times is that I can say this as an executive director of an organization, and particularly I noticed this when I was working with on the Salmon Summit, and all of us who came to that with a vote, there were 17 of us, we all represented agendas and we had to be there, and we had people whose interests we had to maintain. And it didn't give us an opportunity to mix socially. It didn't give us an opportunity to explore other kinds of things informally because we were always across the table. We were always in public forums. And what I've suggested is that we find a way to get key people together in non-public forums to talk about some of these things, staff to staff, those kinds of things, so that we can begin to develop a rapport that's not necessarily based on my agenda, your agenda in a public forum. And I've gotten good response from both sides, both willing to begin doing that. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to begin setting some dates and see what we can do.
Well, what's the number one environmental issue, showstopper, to the channel deepening, and how would you propose it?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't pretend to be an expert on channel deepening. I think one of the things that has surprised me in this whole discussion is that people expect that because I'm a port commissioner and because we're from Lower River that somehow we're all experts in this, but we're not. The number one environmental issue, I don't know that I could tell you what the number one environmental issue is, but clearly the one that's being discussed now has to do with whether or not channel deepening can meet the demands of the Endangered Species Act and in terms of salmon on the Columbia River. And I believe the process that the Port of Portland has supported and that the Corps of Engineers and National Marine Fisheries Service and others have entered into with scientists, objectively independent scientists objectively looking at the issues, is exactly the right way to go. So that's certainly one that's probably the key. If there is one, I guess that would be the key, would be the resolution of that one.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Bob, just listening, it seems like you're talking a lot about the process to get there. I guess the question is, I've had, when all the process is done and things are wrapped together, is the bottom line, we've got to find a way to deepen the channel?
Bottom line is, we've got to find a way to deepen the channel. We've got to